The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. Broadcasting from the KCNR studio, sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino. Now, here is Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Today, the 20th of August, Wednesday, hump day, 7:05 in the morning. News at the top of the hour, always brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community. Shasta Regional Medical Center. And Ben's at the helm. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
Having a good day?
Yeah.
So far, so good.
Hey,
said the guy falling off the Empire State Building, passing floor 90. So far, so good. Good morning, Linda.
Well, good morning. It was a week ago today.
Today.
That you were on your MODOC ride.
Tribal ride.
And I hosted the show. I didn't do a lot of commercial breaks.
That's what
I got to say.
That's what
I was all over the map, but I was in the moment. So Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, it was a lot of fun. We had a great show ahead of us. Let me get quickly to the weather. I had no idea when I went up this morning. Usually, if I get up around 5:15, 5:30, I like to go out in the front, take the dog out in the morning, just kind of see what day it is. I would have never thought that there was going to be a heat advisory because it was so beautiful out. But we are looking at about 101 today and overnight lows of 73. Tomorrow calls for 107. Boy, I'll tell you what, and our guest today called it, boy, we're going to have a big swing day. No kidding. I think that's a perfect description of what it felt like this morning, and then think it's going to be 101. You know those days when it was 106 and you just felt that heat socked in and you could feel it first thing in the morning? Well, today we're going to have 101. Getting 107 tomorrow, overnight lows of 72. Friday calls for 106. As we progress to the weekend, just know we're in those triple digits. Saturday's calling for 107 and Sunday 105. So if you're going to do something, get out, make it early. Yeah, a couple days ago I did the first time I ever actually did the loop out at Turtle Bay, and that was beautiful. I did it once on a Segway. Remember they used to have Segways? And that was always wonderful. But so anyway, get out, take your walk early in the morning. But first of all, I want to do a shout out to our weather sponsor, Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned and operated in Anderson, a veteran-owned business where they always give seniors and veterans special discounts. 365-3793. And now to our morning guests.
Is Renton City Manager Barry Tippin. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning.
A lot of things going on.
A lot going on.
A lot of consternation in budgets and all this. But there's been questions raised, and we have one city council person, woman, Tanessa Audette. She was on, and she was talking about it, and she said that she's been studying the budget for the last 6 months with other financial people that work for the city and financial planning and all this, and there was concerns about it, and so it's been kind of going back and forth. So I thought it'd probably be a good idea to get you on and talk about the budget. I mean, do we have a deficit? I've been hearing we have a $5 million budget shortfall.
No, we have a balanced budget. Now,
okay,
that balanced budget is. Makes assumptions right on revenues and expenditures, right? So just like any budget. And so we are watching revenues in particular really closely because if those revenues don't materialize, then we'll have to make expense cuts. So, but that's no different, you know, than any given year. What we just know today, like we've known for the last few years, is that the economy is super soft, right? And so we've been watching sales tax diminish. Property tax, thankfully, has been up, but TOT has been down considerably. And our fourth largest one, which is not very big, but our cannabis tax has been lower as well. So we are closely watching all of the revenue streams, and if we need to make adjustments, we make adjustments. And so that comes off the heels, and I think what gets confusing is that in 2023, the council did adopt a budget that we knew had a deficit in it. But we knew had a deficit in it, and it was approved by the council because we had two choices at that point in time. One is we had slowly built our public safety network, right? We had hired enough cops. We were fully staffed in the fire department. And we had an option of trying to forecast, you know, where is this going? Is the sales tax going to return because it had dropped 4%, went negative 4%? Is that going to return? And if so, we should keep our public safety services that we're providing. If it's not going to return, then we're going to have to make adjustments as we go. So we could have done that in June of 23 when the budget was adopted, which means we would have lowered all of our police officers and our fire department and other staffing at that point in time. The council decided that they weren't going to do that. We went into that budget with a structural deficit and watched and monitored and began to lower staffing by about January of that next year because the sales tax wasn't returning. So really what the alternatives were lower our public safety staffing in 23, June of 23, or see what happens and use our reserves that we had, which was above 10%, maintain the public safety services to the highest level we possibly could while we're bringing it back down to 10%. And so we overshot a little bit. So this year we probably finished, we don't have the final number yet, but I'm going to say probably around 8%, 9%.
In our reserve.
Yeah, and then we're projected to be back at 10% July 1st of 2026. And for everybody remembers, before 2019, the minimum reserve was 5%. So we went through the Great Recession at 5%. So not only are we in better shape than we were back then, but we also have higher public safety services. And I would say we've had higher public safety services since 22. So for 3 years, we were able to provide better public safety services to the community. And I think we benefited from it. And, so there can be complaints about that. You know, people have different opinions about whether we should have had more money in the bank or whether we should have put the public safety services out on the streets. In my opinion, our job is not to hoard cash. Our job is to actually provide services to the best of our ability to the community.
Our police numbers are dropping.
Well, they went from 122 to 114.
Right.
And we did that through attrition. In contrast, I believe in 2019 we had 106.
Right.
Sworn officers. So we're still better than, and we're shooting to stay there.
So you're basing our budget on sales revenue.
All revenues,
yeah. But our sales tax has it been declining over the last couple years?
Yeah, it has over the entire state, right?
Oh yeah, just saying it's up.
Yeah, and so we had a steady growth from 2012 to 2022. That was a pretty steady growth of sales tax year over year from like 26. It's hard to really compare. I think before 2016, because the state had introduced this thing called the triple flip, where they took our money and gave us auto registration money, and it was hard to really know what your sales tax revenue was. But post 2016, we had about a 5%, 4 to 5% gain year over year on average, up until 22, and then after 22, like 22 to 23, we had a 4%. Decline, and it's been sort of flat and bouncing around right at that lower level. And so typical when we budget for at least inflationary increases, because what makes sense is that as inflation increases, people buy those things. Let's say it's a 2% inflationary factor, you would receive 2% more sales tax on that same good, right? And so that's the typical methodology. But with a number of factors, one is we think Amazon changed the way they distribute sales tax in about 22. We think that's been a big factor.
I mean, up or down?
They actually distribute their sales tax to what they call their distribution centers. So it doesn't matter if you order it in Reading. Mm-hmm. If it comes out of a distribution center, the distribution center location gets the sales tax. We do not. So
We don't know that when we're placing orders.
You don't know that when you're placing orders. So you're paying sales tax, but most everything you order off of Amazon, sales tax goes somewhere else. Some of it comes here, but those are very distinct. Those are things that are unique, and they're sold and distributed from the original vendor. They have to report the sales tax to the city of Reading. But you know, most things these days are coming out of a distribution center somewhere for Amazon. And so that sales tax doesn't come here. The other thing that happened is we all know.
Let me ask a question. When this distribution center opens up here.
No.
No.
And we won't? The reason being is right now it's a last mile. So they consider that a last mile facility, not a distribution facility. Now they have a right of first refusal on another 25 acres. So if all goes well, maybe they'll build a distribution center. We just don't know that. They don't really show us those cards. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that was going on is, as we all know, mortgage rates went up, right? Housing starts went down. We are affected by construction industry, just like everybody else, but maybe even more so. And also with inflationary pressures, we believe that there's a lot less disposable income to buy taxable goods. So when you add all that up, you know, our overall revenues for sales tax have been flat or declining. They're right around $30 million right now.
And yet when we make the budget, did you say we figure it's going to be an increase, or did I misunderstand you?
So we,
you know, let's be
clear. Staff doesn't do that. That's city council. So we present to city council options. Okay. Our typical thing, like I said, is like, well, you know, inflation still happens. And at some point, Kurt Starman used to call it the socks and underwear level. It's like when you have a downturn in the economy, you hit a level somewhere where people are having to buy things. And if you hit that level, you should have an inflationary impact year over year. So we present them options. We said, here's 2.5%, you know, here's what lower than that. I think it was like 1.5%, and here's what 3.5% would look like. The council debated that, and they decided that on this budget going forward, 2% per year would be what they used.
Okay.
More with our city manager, Barry Tippin, when we get back after these messages.
For the ultimate Slapdash. Slap Wars returns to the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Join Hardbot Productions for this battle of the hay on Saturday, September 13th. Watch it all while these Slap Warriors face off to be the last Slappers standing. Tickets for this thrilling competition start at $35. Must be 21 to attend. Tickets include $10 in free slot play. For tickets or complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go and come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number, and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Big news, Redding. Grange Co-op is now open at 55 Lake Boulevard, and we've been busy stocking the shelves just for you. From farm and ranch supplies to garden, pet, and home goods, we've got what you need. Celebrate with us August 15th through the 24th and save big. Get 15% off GMB soils, 20% off Monrovia nursery stock, and 25% off Wrangler, Ariat, and Cinch shirts, jackets, and vests. We're proud to join the Redding community. Come celebrate with us. Visit GrangeCoop.com/Redding to learn more. Sale only valid at the Redding store.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
All right, we're crazy. We're in the car.
All right, welcome back to Free Fire Radio.
We're driving.
Here in the studios. Yeah, when we hear that, everybody's bobbing their head.
Yep, absolutely.
This portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair and Jeff Wurst. The Windshield Whisperer has been doing this for about 30 years. This is a great shop. He can fix anything from a small chip to a crack up to 2 feet in length. Guarantees his work for the life of the windshield. He fixed a crack on the old Red Rover. It lasted 18 years. In fact, it's still lasting, I'm sure, when I sold it. That's the kind of work that Jeff Wurst does. Don't take a chance. And bring it on down. Bring your vehicle, car, truck, SUV, RV, down to 3208 South Market Street for a free inspection and analysis. He's got good prices. He guarantees his work. You can call him at 530-241-8373. Get an appointment. He brings it into a climate-controlled area and fixes your windshield. Locally owned, locally operated, and it's a veteran-owned business. Crackmaster Windshield Repair. And we're here with Redding City Manager Barry Tippin, and we're talking the budget. One of the things you said during the break was that CalPERS, because, you know, it's a question about, you know, how much money, you know, we're on the hook for in this, that CalPERS changed things. And can you talk about that?
Yeah, I think it's important to go all the way back to the early 2000s when the state of California gave the first enhanced pensions. And that was the landslide that a lot of cities followed with public safety and with what we call miscellaneous employees. CalPERS, based on the fact that they called themselves superfunded, meaning they had more money in the bank than they needed to meet all their obligations, said that if you give enhanced pensions to employees, it will be free. You won't have to pay for it. And so a lot of cities, and the state included, took them up on that. And so they said,
did
hey.
We took them up on
yes, we did.
Okay.
For public safety and for miscellaneous.
Okay.
And we said, and the reason they did it is they said, oh, well, it's better for us if we pay lower wages and we have an enhanced pension because it's free on the pension side and we don't have to pay the employee cost.
Nobody thinking that that might change.
Right, exactly. So that was in early 2000s. I think the last thing the city did was maybe around 2004 timeframe.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had the Great Recession. Well, what happened is, of course, that free turned into not free because CalPERS had massive losses. So the pension system is built on two things. One is the people who are enrolled, what they pay annually, and then also on interest earnings, assumed interest earnings. And so what happened during the Great Recession was everybody had massive losses, including CalPERS. So by 2016, they were bleeding cash. They did not have the money forecasted to pay pensions. So what they did is they changed all of their analysis. They changed the assumptions on when you would die. They changed assumptions on all their amortizations. So they used to say, we're going to spread things over 30 years. They said, we're going to spread it over 20 years. And then they changed how much interest earnings they think they're going to get. The bottom line of that was this massive increase in payments that all cities are going to have to pay over a 20-year period of time, peaking at about 10. And we're right there right now. So they made that decision in December of 2016. And if you remember back then, we had a big budget problem because of the unfunded liability that we had to fix. Right now we're paying, don't quote me on this number, it's around $18 million, closing in on $18 million for general fund only. That's police and fire and other general fund. And we're hitting about the peak of it, and then it's supposed to go back down by 2035. And so what happened is that they had to change what they charge us because of the Great Recession. And they are taking that money back over a 20-year period of time. It's like a loan, right? It's they decided they needed to charge us more, but they're going to give us a loan and charge us interest on that over a 20-year period of time. So it is increasing, but it should start going back down in about 2-3 years, hopefully done by 2035.
What kind of services at the city may we lose here? I mean, if we don't hit that 2 point or that 2%, say it's 1%, what kind of things do we start losing? Is there going to be like is it going to be like you go through there and you start combining jobs and start letting people go?
Well, we've already done a lot of that over the years, and so what happens? And why it's not, you don't just look at the sales tax, because last year, while we budgeted 4% increase on property tax, we got nearly 7. So we have to look at all revenue sources, because we can have other revenue sources that will offset that. And as I said earlier, our job is to provide the best public safety services and other public services that we possibly can. And so we always want to maintain that as best as we can. So we look at all revenue sources for the general fund, and we see where things are going to land. The council's direction to this point has been, let's try to do those adjustments through attrition so we don't have to lay people off. And so that would be the first thing we would look for, is where we have an attrition, where are people leaving? Let's hold those positions. Let's save money there. Let's save money here. We've already cut our operation and maintenance budgets probably as far as we really want to. There's a little, tweaks we could do here and there in terms of, some of our parks maintenance and that sort of stuff. But largely it's going to be let's see where we're at and see where positions have been vacated, where we have opportunities to shift people from, maybe working in the general fund to working in a grant-funded position for a while, those types of things. So it's really hard to tell today, because we probably wouldn't be making those adjustments until around the first of the year, because it takes about that long, and we won't get our first tranche, what we call it, of property tax until after the first of the year. So we really won't have a super clear picture on the total revenue streams until mid-January.
Does the city council know all this?
Yes.
I mean, I've read something that says that it was just, things were not covered, but just not, included in all this. But the city council has been on the reports, is what I'm asking, is everything that you're telling us now are included in reports.
So everything we've done since I've worked at the city is in accordance with city council policy, right? So the council determines, how the documents are developed, what is the reporting mechanisms and all of that. And so, for instance, one of the complaints has been that, why isn't this actual budget at the end of the year equal the budget we approved? Well, a lot of that is what's called carryovers. There's a council policy that says, hey, if we have a project or we have, something that was budgeted in 1 year and it doesn't get completed, it doesn't have to go back to council to get rebudgeted. It's just carried over.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a carryover process. So let's just use simple numbers. If we have $100 million in a budget and we have $10 million of unfinished projects in the previous year, then this year we may spend $110 million, not $100. That doesn't mean we went over budget. It means that we already had budgeted money that just got spent in the second year instead of the first. That happens all the time. And so the council, if they said, hey, we don't want that policy anymore, we want you to rebudget that, or we want you to report it differently, that'd be great. Fine. We can do that. That's exactly what, our job is to meet the council's needs. And I can tell you, until 3 months ago, 4 or 5 months ago, whatever it was, nobody on the council mentioned anything that they weren't satisfied with the reporting. And then when you dive down and you try to compare an audit document to a budget document, they're really never going to match because of the government accounting rules. They just won't.
I want to ask about that. Why wouldn't they? But we got to take a break here. Okay. We're with Reading City Manager Barry Tippett. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. Two separate divisions, financial management and insurance. Judy Maxwell started this business back in 1993. Has been helping families, business owners, veterans, all of us since then. If you're looking for a free review and evaluation on your insurance plans or your how about your retirement plans, your 401ks? Because as we're just hearing right now, the economy has been going up and down, and it's kind of hard to forecast anything. So, but why not get a free review and evaluation from Maxwell Insurance and Financial? Give them a call, 530-221-0441, or stop by 1378 Hilltop Drive. Maxwell Insurance and Financial. We'll be right back with Reading City Manager Barry Tippett.
I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Smoke and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash. But it takes the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Experience the thrill of our $100,000 summer adventure. Swipe to Win Draw. Weekly drawings are from June through August, Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m., where you have a chance to win exciting prizes, including free slot play and cash rewards. Have a chance to win a brand new 2025 Ford Ranger in the final drawing. By participating, you could drive away in style. For complete details, visit WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Your moments at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Our guest is Reading City Manager Barry Tippin. Good morning, Barry.
Morning.
And Nick, you said you have a quick question.
Yes. Barry, when did you find out about the citizens-led one-cent sales tax? When was as soon as you heard about it?
Okay. Thanks, Nick.
Boy, that's... So, I got called maybe in, I'm going to say, April, February? I don't know. A few folks called me and said, we're thinking about forming a committee, and we want to verify rules. So what we understand is if it's specific tax led by the citizens, then it could be a 50% plus one. Is that correct? Yes, that's correct. And so they said, okay. And then they went off and started doing their work. They submitted a list of things to me once saying, hey, is this what we need? Police, fire, jail, roads, parks, you know, because we want to build this specific tax around that. My response, of course, was yes. And I had a few other conversations with them along the way. So probably February or so.
I heard it. Yeah, I heard it early, too. You know, yeah. Somebody, you know, it approached me. And yeah. I put a gun against my head. I can't tell you what it was.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It was several months before the whole thing kicked off. And then it just went underground. Let's go back.
Yeah, just real quick. I actually appreciated them reaching out because what they were concerned about is they didn't want to create a tax initiative that wasn't going to meet what we would identify as city needs.
Okay. One of the things you just were talking about during the break was you have revamped the whole accounting system for the city.
Yeah.
Over the last year?
Last two plus years.
So
yeah.
You can tell people about this because we've taken something that was 30 years old and you've changed it over the last 2 years.
Yeah, we had what's called an AS400 legacy system, which was installed in the 80s. And so that is a program language that is basically taught as history in your computer science classes. And our last remaining programmers were beginning to age out. And there are some big companies that still use it. I believe Costco does. I believe SPI does. And so we're competing with those, you know, Fortune 500 type companies for programming staff. We just can't compete with that. So we made the decision with the council that we need to update our system. And so it went live for financial systems in July 1st of 2023. So that was the first day, which was the start of that budget process, that we went live. And then since then, we've had to implement the payroll module, which is, you know, paying 1,000-plus employees every 2 weeks, with 12 unions, by the way, so that each one has different rules. And we also did a budget module this year. So, and we didn't hire any staff to do that. So we had what's called an implementer, called Graviton out of Sacramento, that is responsible for the programming and making sure everything's mapped out and done right. And we had a project manager out of Chicago that helped us just manage the project. But other than that, our staff 100% did it all on our own, which has caused us some difficulties in, keeping up with everything. And one of the issues that we're still working on, and hopefully we'll have it mostly resolved by September, is a better reporting to match some of our reporting that we provided pre-new system. And so we've been working on that. Council has been made aware of that and informed of that. And so hopefully
could
we'll
that
just
explain
keep that.
Where some reports are delayed or incomplete?
Yeah,
you're trying to capture everything again?
Yeah, so I'd say the quarterly reporting expenditure report is different. Right now it's all of those information is within a staff report instead of an attached report, and it's also much less detailed. What we used to be able to provide is a very detailed accounting. In fact, it was, 50 sheets long or something like that. It didn't give you any more macro information, so it didn't give you any additional information. You would just be able to tell, police department's spending more money over here than over there. But they're, nothing outside of their realm. It also, I guess gave a better sense of completeness, but it really didn't change how everything's being monitored. And then also, there's been some cause for, I know there was a big complaint that we didn't do the third quarter report in May like we typically would have done. The reason we didn't is because of all this work that's going on. Plus, just quite frankly, the council, understandably was struggling with this reduced budget. And so they sent us off on a lot of other avenues to go get all this information together. And so, I did make the decision. It's like, well, if we can't get the work done to get that quarterly report out, which was due in May, we're supposed to have a new budget by, you know, a month from then, that we just won't produce it because it's old data. It's based on a budget that doesn't exist anymore, really. We've already decided to tear that budget down. And that has been used as, you know,
But the city council knew about that.
Yeah, I mean, the generally
it wasn't just council, due today, and you said a week later, oh, never mind, we're not going to do that.
Well, it's so the financial reporting is generally given to them every, once a quarter. So, mm-hmm. But we are having such detailed budget discussions already that it wasn't going to provide any tangible information, other despite what's been, you know, claimed. It was based on data that actually was old. Right. So mm-hmm. we're always behind because our reporting from the state for sales tax, the reporting on everything is always behind.
Okay. We've got to turn Barry loose here. And it was prearranged in about 5 minutes. What do you think? Are we in trouble here? Are we going to be able to meet are we going to lose people? Are we going to cut back and all that you've been doing this a long time, Barry. What are you looking at here? Do you think that we're going to be able to maintain, gain, or actually lose?
So I think that the current budget, I think will end the current budget. Let's just say nothing else is out there, right? We all know that there's a sales tax that's supposed to be voted on and everything else.
Right.
And let's just assume that doesn't exist. The budget as we know it today is going to be fine. We may have to like hold some positions, but that's not the key issue. The key issue is we're all watching our infrastructure sort of deteriorate around us. Fire mm-hmm. stations, roads,
yeah.
sports complex, civic auditorium, park systems. It's all deteriorating around us. The big question is not what are we doing with our current staffing and that sort of. The big question is what is the council's decisions going to be relative to your infrastructure? How are we going to fix it? And the only way to fix it is to lower levels of service. So you lower levels of service. That could include pay cuts, you know, across the board, whatever. But we need, you know, probably upwards of $20 million a year just to sort of balance out, right, on all the roads and the maintenance requirements. And I tell people all the time, from my opinion, you know, this is not a new thing. Starting with the Great Recession, it's been difficult to do this. But because we had new facilities, and we had a lot of creative approaches, we were able to carry this along. And the fact of the matter is the economy hasn't grown. We have not grown as a city. We have not landed, you know, new, or corporations and found new revenue sources, et cetera, et cetera. So all these older facilities are starting to catch up. And just like your house and a new roof and new air conditioning system, et cetera, et cetera. Something's got to be done, and you either have to, you know, mothball the stuff, let it go to failure until you close it or rip it out, or you have to fix it. And that's the real question. That's the real difficulty that's going to hit the reality stream, you know, in this fiscal year.
Okay, and then we just heard from the Civic. They
yeah.
need $675,000, or can they walk away from that lease?
Well, they can go bankrupt just like anybody else.
Okay.
Here's the reality that I think people forget. There's virtually no other facility like the Civic Auditorium that is
yeah.
not subsidized. I think they found one. I think BritFest. But BritFest is a much lesser facility in terms of what it has. Plus, it's a seasonal, so they close it all down. They don't have to continue to air condition or heat it or maintain the grounds. You know, they can just walk away. And so what we have is a facility that is much like any other civic auditorium in Northern California, where it does not survive. When we ran it ourselves, it was about a $1.5 million general fund cost to run that facility. It's a community benefit. And if you don't have HP, sponsoring it, or SoFi, you know, I mean, even in the NFL, SoFi Stadium, it's sponsored.
This, hey, the studio is sponsored by Red and Rancheria.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, Wind River Resort and Casino.
Yeah. And so the reality is that we have to figure that out too. And so that's why, Advanced Reading said, hey, can we discuss this restructuring and how do we make this work?
Okay. Thanks a lot, Barry.
Thank you.
For being with us. And I'm keeping my promise. I'm getting you out of here.
Yep.
And once a month, I think, you or Steve or both should come on our morning show once a month, and we'll have these great
We need to have the city council. Yes. We need to have, you know, again, because these are tough questions that, and from what you just said, you know, our infrastructure is crumbling around us. That, you know, what is the city council going to do?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
It was on the streets of Pinar del Rio. You remember the smell of her hair. You thought, white gardenias. You shared dinner, then coffee. Then came that beautiful aroma of the cigar. You forgot her name, but not the cigar. La Roma de Cuba, mi amor. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
No pensé que fuera.
Hunts are back for two nights at Wind River Resort and Casino. Prepare yourself and your friends for the hottest male performers heating up the stage on Friday, August 22nd and Saturday, August 23rd. Get your tickets for only $20. Speed, sis, and blues, $10 free slot play. Get your tickets now before they're gone. Must be 21 to attend. For tickets or complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-UWIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Most everyone knows that Orchard Nutrition Center has a big selection of vitamins and supplements, a fresh bakery and deli, organic groceries, and certified organic produce from Shasta County and surrounding areas. What I know is, my mom loves shopping at Orchard Nutrition Center. Her motto, you are what you eat. If you eat healthy, you'll be healthy. She says that all the time. Personally, I believe her. As a kid, I like things that are sweet. So when she comes home with farm fresh local fruit, trust me, it's sweet. Mom loves all the local veggies. And Dad, he likes meat. Orchard carries locally grown, 100% grass-fed beef. So guess what? Dad's even eating healthy, and he doesn't even know it. If you haven't been to Orchard Nutrition, you owe it to yourself and the ones you love. Just remember what my mom says. You are what you eat. If you eat healthy, you'll be healthy. It all starts at Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week.
Mischief, magic, and Shakespeare. Shasta College invites you to audition for A Midsummer Night's Dream, the classic romantic comedy full of tangled love triangles, enchanted forests, and hilarious chaos. Auditions are August 25th and 26th at 6 p.m. in the Shasta College Theater. Prepare a one-minute classical monologue, preferably comedic, from Shakespeare or the same period. Community members and students are welcome. For more information, call 530-242-7573. That's 530-242-7573. Step into the magic. Your role awaits.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Well, that was interesting. Yeah, Barry had to take off because he has an appointment, but that was really great. I didn't know that he was, that retiring.
Oh, yep. Officially in December. Okay. On the lines, Kevin Cry, chairman of the Board of Supervisors for Shasta County. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, Carl. How you doing? Hey, Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so what happened yesterday? Wait a minute. First of all, how long were you in there?
Yesterday we went to a little after, I believe, 1 o'clock, and then had closed session after that.
So, oh, 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
My gosh, it was a new record for shortness?
Yeah, no. Well, I think, when you don't, when you've hidden so much from the community for so long, it takes a long time to unpack how things are really done and what's going on.
Okay.
And I think that's the most important thing. I was really, really surprised and impressed with a few different items we had yesterday. So we had our healthcare consultant, Chris Street, came in and gave a presentation, and that ended, I believe today is the last day of his 6-month contract with the county. So he wrapped that up, and then Dr. Danuka and Dr. Norm Hall from Simpson University came in and gave some input as to the next steps of what he recommended. So we had a lot of board discussion around that. No official action was taken, but Dr. Danuka is in the process of forming whether you want to call it a coalition or a committee or a group. It's not going to be subject to the Brown Act or anything of that nature, but they've been meeting with local stakeholders and people coming now forward wanting to be a part of it, who are some of the biggest detractors originally, and it's great to see people coming around. I think Dr. Danuka's idea that started this whole thing way back in the fall of last year.
Well, I can tell you, Kevin, that Paul Danuka has been talking about this for a lot longer than that. Ever since I've known him, he's talked about the advantages of this. He's really come out public with it, as you were correct in saying. But this has been one of his I think lifelong dreams since he's been here, is to have something like this happen.
Yeah, I mean, I see, and that's even information I didn't know. Like, I didn't know how long he'd been talking about it. I just remember hearing him. I mean, and I've known him since 22. I met him when I was running originally for the board, and that's when I met him. And I had never spoken to him ever about a medical school. But then when he started running and talking about it, that's where it was.
Yeah,
like,
this wasn't. He just didn't think of this off the top of his head. He's been talking about this for years. Okay, and so
the result of that is it wasn't put into a motion, but I recommended that the board ask or appoint Christy Coleman, our new director of HHSA, to be a part of that group. So they're going to meet next Tuesday, and then we're going to bring something back either this Tuesday or the next Tuesday, or I'll bring something back either this Tuesday or next Tuesday about getting somebody involved in that, and then really working on funding and working on some next steps, which we've already been doing. I mean, it's been a full-time push for quite a few people, so that's not going to slow down. Now the ball's just basically being handed off to Dr. Danuka to do what he needs to do to move the project forward as it relates to partnerships and residency programs and, of course, funding, because that's the biggest thing. And the county isn't going to just dip into their general fund and pay for this. I mean, there's some supervisors I don't think that understand the process of grants and then community support for something like this, because if we don't do something like, you know, in business, you've heard of the BHAG, the big, hairy, audacious goal. Well, if we don't shoot really, really big as a county to really alter and change what we're doing medically, we're going to get what we continue to have, and which is less and less providers, which results in less and less care. And our population is getting younger, Carl, as you know, it's getting older. So we're
speak for yourself, Cry.
I'm a grandparent now. So now, you know, I went from the young coach in my early to mid-20s to now I've got a grandson that's 14 months. So
there you
go. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. So that was one item.
What was another one?
Some of the other items we had an opioid presentation with the group of Raising Shasta Youth Options, and then Clay Ross from Columbia School District. They came in and gave an update as to the progress they're making, making sure that programs are aligned, and then bringing more drug and alcohol or substance abuse awareness to youth. So we've, as a board, we voted to bring them back every 6 months. So this was their first check-in. We had the ROV item that was brought back. That was a lot of great discussion. Right now, we feel pretty strongly that, I feel pretty strongly that it's a four-fifths vote to make the budget amendment. And Supervisor Plummer, I believe, is there. He just needs to see a little bit more information, which I can totally respect. So, and it was pretty vocal that Supervisor Kelscher and myself were very supportive of it. And then Supervisor Harmon didn't say a whole lot, but I believe, you know, he's pretty supportive of it with a little.
Yeah, are what you're talking about, because they came in the first time wanting $2.5 million with no specifics, and that's off the table. Yeah. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, there was a lot of specifics, but it just was very high-level specifics, and that doesn't fly, so at least for me. So for this budget amendment, it'd be $125,000. It's for cameras and some of the other equipment and infrastructure needs Mr. Curtis needs for him and his team to do the ballot counting process the way he's talked about. And one of the things that I love the most is he's talking about having, you know, 90-95% of the votes counted by election night, like the good old days. And then doing it very transparently. So I'm very eagerly awaiting to see if that's going to happen. Cause that's one of the things I've always said is I would like to see our votes counted faster. It can't be certified because you have to wait 30 days for the mail-in ballots and the ballots overseas and the adjudicated ballots. Like that takes time and I get that. So it can't be certified for 30 days or up to 30 days. And normally it takes well into that fourth week. I've seen that. I mean, we've all seen that in my three elections. In the first, you know, 2 years that I was involved in this, I get it. It can take a while, but whatever we can do to increase the transparency and the public trust and belief, and this is what I told people, that this isn't going away. I mean, now we're seeing, and I thought it was going to be, you know, later this fall that Trump was going to start talking about executive orders, but the voting conversation is just, I believe, starting as we look at this administration and what's happening.
Well, he wants to sign an executive order if he hasn't, doing away with mail-in voting.
Yeah, well, you know, and this is what people don't understand. And we had public speakers yesterday that come up, and sometimes they give great input. Other times people are just, like, so off, you don't even know what they're talking about. But Trump's not saying let's get rid of absentee ballots. He's saying let's get rid of where everybody gets one, because that's crazy.
And there's a big difference. And there is a big difference there.
There's a big difference. Like, yeah. Of course I want overseas military to vote, or I want people that are homebound to vote. Like, of course, who wouldn't? What I don't want is I don't want every single, you know, person that's registered with the DMV to receive a ballot. And there being such a low chain of custody.
Yeah. Okay, Kevin, we got about a minute and a half. What else do you have
Perfect.
To hit?
So the other thing that I was, and I'll tell you, one of the, you know, you never want to say, I don't know if the word is impressed or proud or whatever that would be, but we did talk about the courthouse, about, you know, what we're going to do with that. So I love the board discussion there. The one thing that I was really, really excited about, though, was I like to see, well, the two things in 60 seconds, I guess, would be we have the alternative custody program and that piece of property. So we signed the agreement to get that land. City of Reading, they're having issues again at the 11th hour. I don't know if they're moving the goalposts or what's going on, but at the end of the day, we voted 5-0 to sign it, send it over to them. But on consent, there was an item that Supervisor Plummer pulled, and he actually pulled an item as it relates to basically allowing our county clerk to run the ballot initiative for the city of Reading. And Plummer pulled it, and he said, look, if they're going to, you know, jerk our chain slow walk the alternative custody property, then we can do this too. So let's not go ahead.
This is just make this clear. The alternative custody program, that's the one that Sheriff Mike Johnson has proposed.
Correct. Yeah,
it's
90 acres on East Side Road.
Yeah, and and his program seems very well thought out and is doable. But in the first step, though, was getting that property.
We have to get the property,
right.
And the city of Reading now is saying that they feel that we shouldn't sign that until the state has deemed it surplus property. Our county council has been very clear to us that he doesn't see that being an issue at all, and he gave all these reasons why. So to me, and then this was what was very interesting, Supervisor Plummer started to become very aggressive about, like, we got to get this done. Let's quit messing around. So he pulled an item on consent as it relates to the election of the 1% sales tax. And so we, and I'll just say, I'll say myself. Okay. I have every intention of wanting to make sure that we can run that election. But at the end of the day, I was glad to see Supervisor Plummer start to get irritated with the slow walking process.
Okay.
Because I've said it for months. And
hey, Kevin, we're at a hard break, buddy. Thanks a lot for calling.
Right, hey,
okay,
you.
every Wednesday morning at 7 o'clock, we're going to get an update from the meeting on Tuesday, and the same thing with City Council on Tuesday mornings at 7 o'clock. So thank you very much. Hey, when we come back from the news, we're going to have the Shasta County Sheriff's Department is joining us.
KCNR, Shasta Reading.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rich Thomason. Thousands of California parents rallied outside the state capitol building in Sacramento Tuesday to oppose Assembly Bill 495, legislation which would allow anyone to download an online form and remove children from public schools or daycare centers. The outpouring of citizen action was organized by Pastor Jack Hibbs of the Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills Church. During the rally, he spoke with Sacramento radio station AM 1380, The Answer.
You can go back to school that evening to pick up your kid. They won't be there. Be there. And listen to this. The school has no obligation whatsoever to tell you, the parent, who took your kid. Where are they? Who was it? They don't have to tell. This has got to stop. This state is out of control. And these wonderful people here by the thousands are holding Newsom accountable to what he does with this bill. We're asking him to veto the bill.
That controversial legislation, AB 495, has now been referred back to committee for further study. Hurricane Aaron may not make a direct hit on land, but it is a very large, very dangerous storm. Communities along the East Coast are preparing. Coastal North Carolina, of particular concern, according to the National Hurricane Center's Lisa Bush.
We have a storm surge warning up for that area. We also have tropical storm watches and warnings up the East Coast. So in portions where we do have tropical storm warnings, we are expecting tropical storm force winds. Further north, we have watches.
Evacuations have been ordered for some parts of the Outer Banks, and people are being urged, in some cases being ordered, to stay out of the water due to thunderous surf and potentially deadly rip currents. Stocks in the red on Wall Street, the Dow down 121 points. The Nasdaq is off 402 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Everybody is keeping an eye on the Fed and how an interest rate cut might affect gold prices. Gold has been hovering at around $3,400 an ounce for the last 2 months and is poised for dramatic growth with the next interest rate cut. When rates go down, returns on bonds follow. And that's why gold continues to be the safe haven asset of choice for smart investors. Are you protected? Don't wait until it's too late to profit from the back and forth from the Fed on interest rates. Right now, if you have a qualified IRA or 401k, you could receive up to $10,000 in free gold and silver when you open your retirement account with Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000 now or visit AdvantageGold.com and get your free gold IRA guide and find out how much bonus gold you qualify for. Call 800-900-8000 to qualify for your free $10,000 precious metals bonus when you open your qualified gold IRA with Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000 now. Performance may vary. Consult with your financial and tax professionals before making investment decisions. Call 800-900-8000.
Israel is moving ahead with plans to tighten the screws on Hamas terrorists sheltering among civilians in Gaza City.
Israel will activate reservists for a new Gaza offensive. An Israeli military official says the country's top generals have approved plans to call up some 50,000 reservists to begin a new phase of operations in Gaza's densely populated areas. According to the official, they will be active in parts of Gaza City where troops have not yet operated and where Hamas is still present. It's unclear when the new operations will begin, but the official says the reservists will be called up in the coming weeks, doubling the number of active reservists to 120,000. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the objective of the Gaza expansion is to secure the release of the remaining hostages and to ensure that Hamas cannot threaten Israel again. I'm Mimi Montgomery.
Gaza City is Hamas's main military and governing stronghold. Townhall.com. It is a big event for an old Swedish Lutheran church.
One of Sweden's most beloved wooden churches is being moved as part of the relocation of the town of Kiruna. It's happening because the world's largest underground iron ore mine is threatening to swallow the town. This week, thousands of visitors descended upon the town north of the Arctic Circle to watch the church's relocation. The vicar kicked off the move with a blessing Tuesday morning. The slow journey is scheduled to end Wednesday afternoon and is being live streamed by Sweden's national broadcaster. Keith Peters, Washington.
A dangerous heat wave has taken hold across much of California and the Southwest, with triple-digit temperatures expected, along with a higher risk of wildfire. Officials have opened cooling centers this week in L.A., warning residents to avoid strenuous outdoor activities. Peak of the heat wave expected to grip Arizona tomorrow and Friday. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. Broadcasting from the KCNR studio, sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino. Now, here is Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Hump Day Wednesday, the 20th of August, 8:05 in the morning, right here at Free Fire Radio on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio, the last privately owned, family owned station in the area.
Speaking of hump day, it was about a week ago that you and
I was humping over a
you
hill.
About 40 or 50 other guys went on a
humped over the
big
hill.
Old horse trip, and
it was great.
And when you
absolutely fabulous.
I only talked with Carl twice out of 4 days. And you have to realize in the 19 years that we've been together, we talk every day, maybe 4 or 5 times a day. Just just stop.
That's before we see each other at home.
Yeah.
then like camouflage, it's continuous.
So 4 days, 2 times, we spoke maybe 10 seconds.
I did send a message.
Yeah, you tried. And you tried to call.
I tried
but
to call.
But when you
I was
said,
on top of a hill
when
on
you
a
said,
horse.
Made it through 7-hour ride, I thought, OMG.
Well, at least he told you he was alive.
I know. Exactly. Now
where'd you go as far as
up into the Warner Mountains. Okay. And with this group, the MODOC Trail Ride or Tribal Ride group.
Okay.
And we go up every year. We get up there on a Wednesday and gather, and then we ride into the camp and then ride on Thursday and Friday, and then we come back on Saturday.
Yeah.
Sure. Those horses are impressive. I was the mounted team liaison for the search and rescue team, so I was working with all the horses.
Do you have
with
a horse?
The search and rescue. I don't have a horse,
it's too
but
bad.
I went out there.
That's too bad, Cody, because I would have signed you up for next year.
And if you're tuning in, we are talking to Lieutenant Cody
Fodder. Well, we haven't
Fodder.
Even started.
I know we haven't started. Okay. He is our guest, but I was saying hump day. It was a week ago. And you were on this major ride, so you were over the hump.
It was a hump over the hill. It is the 20th of August.
Yeah.
It's 8:07, and the news at the top of the hour is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassionate community. Ben's running everything in there. He's had numerous phone calls. He's trying to balance. I'm running in there going, tell him this, run back out. And so, good job, Ben.
Hey, it is National Radio Day today, too.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. National Radio Day.
Mm.
That means everybody out there that has got a business and you have not signed up with us to be a sponsor, we're going to have a special deal for you if you call today, 530-605-4565.
Yeah.
Talk to Sue. And we'll, you know what? 10% off
all
advertising
right.
Because it's national.
Because you can, because yeah. We can, you can, you're the boss, and you're calling it today.
Yeah, there it is. Because
you got to call today.
We own the station. We don't have, the only person I have to check with is.
We're going
to
make you a deal.
Is Linda. We'll make a deal today. Yeah, it'll make Sue
we'll
crazy.
Tell you where there's no deal, and that is called our weather, a heat advisory that's in effect with 101 today, overnight lows to 73. Thursday, that's tomorrow, 107. As we progress this week, just get ready. Because we are above triple digit, 107 on Thursday, Friday, again, 106, Saturday and Sunday, 107 and 105. So just hot weather ahead of us. And again, we are under a heat advisory with just about 73 tonight. Clear skies. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane in Anderson. where it's a veteran-owned business, locally owned, where they give veteran and senior discounts always, 365-3793.
And
somebody's calling to get an advertising package.
And today, I'll probably go down and I will take the hose and water Odina off. So
Yes.
She cools off, then I'll let her hold the hose and and she can water me down. So, okay, hey, we are here with Lieutenant Cody Vodner from the Shasta County Sheriff's Department. He's been here before, but it's the first time Linda's been here.
Yes, well, and the pup too.
And the pup, yeah.
Both
and the dog.
Yeah, Buford's relaxed. He knows you're here for your safety and protection.
That's right. Somebody comes to that door, he immediately turns into an attack dog.
Yeah.
He makes your canines look like sissies.
Well, he has that quiet, stoic look to him where you're like, ooh,
I don't know what to think.
And then the eyes too, so you're like, okay.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Nice to see you, Linda. Nice to meet you.
We have had homeless come through or street people come through that door. And he's here, and he comes trotting toward them, and he's got that half blue eye and all this, and he's good size. He comes trotting for him, out the door they go, and all he's looking for is a pet, you know. So anyway, Lieutenant, thanks for joining us again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is your mission? Let's talk about you first.
Okay.
How are you, a local guy or what?
Yeah. So I was born and raised up here in Shasta County, Central Valley, or Shasta Lake City, to be exact. Born and raised up there. Graduated in Central Valley High School in 06. Played on the undefeated team, which is 20 years ago now, when CV in 06, which is
Central Valley, 06, undefeated.
Yep.
Ooh,
yeah. So,
okay.
After that, graduated, decided, believe it or not, the local grocer and the local fast food joint wouldn't hire me, so the sheriff's office did, as an intern, and,
the requirements too high?
I don't know, but, I ended up getting hired by the Shasta County Sheriff's Office, started as a cadet, kind of like an intern spot.
Sure.
Did that for about 3.5 years, went to the jail, was a jailer for about 3.5 years as well.
Did you have to go through the post?
Yes.
First. And were you a sworn deputy back then to be in the jail?
No. So, with, California, penal code, all you have to have is PC 832, which is like arrest and control.
Okay.
And that's within the first year of appointment. So you don't even necessarily need, that prior to being hired. And then we'll send you to PC 832 course, and we'll also send you to the core course as well, which is like for correctional officers.
Okay.
So all that I did that for about 3 years.
So you worked in the jail for 3 years.
I did.
I've taken a tour of the jail.
Mm-hmm.
That's hardcore. Tough work. No, yeah. that's tough work.
It is.
You guys are always under observation.
Yeah.
By the bad guys.
Yeah.
Who will be released back into our community.
Yeah. It's, they get to know your style and they get to know who you are as a person. And, our offenders and the people that are in there, but you kind of get an early opportunity to create that relationship. And I found that as a huge benefit that I worked in the jail for 3 years, not only to basically set that relationship of like, hey, they know where I'm coming from. You know, I'm fair, but I make sure that the rules are followed, and they come out the street and they're like, hey, hey, Bodner, hey, how are you? So it's one of those things where they know where I'm coming from, and I know where they're coming from. So there's that shared relationship, but it's not like, hey, we're buddies or anything, but they know that I'm not going to go out of my way to make their life harder, but they also,
as long as they're playing by the rules, you'll play by the rules.
Yeah. And it's mutual, right? Mutual respect is gained there. You know, guys that don't do that, that just go through academy, come straight out to the street, they don't have any of that past knowledge of these guys. So they're kind of going in these scenarios blind, right?
Sure.
And, I've found that in general, and this isn't across the board, but in general, cops that have that prior custody experience make better cops right off the get-go. And that's kind of where we've pulled a lot of our deputy sheriffs over the years, is from the custody division to come out to the street, just because that transition is so natural.
Well, and this is your opinion, but do you think that every new sheriff's deputy that comes in ought to spend a year in the jail?
I do. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. It's just the knowledge is so vital that you gain when you're doing that. Just dealing with people, dealing with the manipulation, dealing with...
Manipulation was the word that I was going to ask you about, because they are experts.
Yeah. You know, it's commonly known that, you know, that they, most of the time when you're being addressed by an inmate or in the jail, is they're trying to usually try to get something out of you, right? And it's not necessarily, you know, they're going to be drugs or anything illegal or anything like that, but it could be just, hey, I want an extra tray. I want to break this rule for a little bit. I want to do, they're trying to test boundaries, right? So if you're able to recognize that and get ahead of that, it makes your job safer because rules are set for safety. That's the whole reason that they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you enforce those boundaries and they understand those boundaries, there's still respect there because they're like, all right, you know, I have to respect this guy's boundaries. He's not going to take that.
Right.
So it's good. It's really good that those cops do time in the jail, and I'm happy I did.
We have to take a break here, Cody, but when we come back, I want to ask you, how long ago were you in the jail?
That was 15 years ago.
15. Yeah. I want you to, could you please address the change in the inhabitants of the jail over the last, you know, say 5-6 years since the Prop 99? For I understand there's some hard guys in there. So
yeah,
when we come back. Mm-hmm. All right. This portion of the show brought to you. Did we do this one?
No. Four Winds Jewelry located at 2225. As a matter of fact,
my little turquoise
bracelets that I have on right now are both pieces that we got at Four Winds Jewelry. They have just wonderful estate jewelry. And if you want to go in and have your watch repaired, a full watch repair person is there, the only one actually in Reading. Where you want to have a free set stone, or you want to create a ring, or have something evaluated. It is really your one-stop shop. Great stuff. Four Winds Jewelry, again, located at 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. We'll
voted
be right
best,
back.
Voted best in the North State for 3 years in a row. See ya.
Slapdown. Slap Wars returns to the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Join Hard Bot Productions for this Battle of the Hay on Saturday, September 13th. Watching on while these Slap Warriors face off to be the last Slapper standing. Tickets for this thrilling competition start at $35. Must be 21 to attend. Tickets include $10 in free slot play. For tickets or complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Big news, Reading. Grange Co-op is now open at 55 Lake Boulevard, and we've been busy stocking the shelves just for you. From farm and ranch supplies to garden, pet, and home goods, we've got what you need. Celebrate with us August 15th through the 24th and save big. Get 15% off GMB soils, 20% off Monrovia nursery stock, and 25% off Wrangler area and Cinch shirts, jackets, and vests. We're proud to join the Reading community. Come celebrate with us. Visit GrangeCoop.com/Reading to learn more. Sales only valid at the Reading store.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Are you tired of your business insurance expenses going up and up? Surprisingly, there is some relief here in California. The workers' compensation market in California is the hottest it's been in years. Companies are offering huge discounts on some worker compensation policies, and if your agent hasn't shopped your workers' compensation insurance lately, you're paying too much. Siskiyou Insurance Services deals with some of the best insurance companies in California, not only for business insurance, but also workers' compensation insurance, too. Hartford, Travelers, Liberty, and
and more. Real estate agencies, smoking hot rates. Lawyers, some of the best rates in California. Doctor's offices and dentist offices, we have the companies. And contractors, we can write your comp too. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services today if you want to save money on your business insurance portfolio. If your agent hasn't shopped your workers' compensation this year, you can by calling Siskiyou Insurance in Reading, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
When you need a workers' compensation attorney, the only thing worse than no attorney is a bad attorney. Consider speaking with more than one attorney before you decide who you want to represent you. You should be interviewing the actual attorney, not just their staff. An extra couple of weeks in selecting the right attorney for you could have lifelong impact. We hope you will try Gorman Law. There is never any pressure, and consultations are always free. Call us at 530-262-2168 or schedule online at GormanComplaw.com.
Uh-oh! Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! Yep, there you go. Today is hump day, Wednesday, August 20th, 8:20 in the morning. It's 8:20. Isn't that weird? Okay, no. We're
here. What's weird?
Well,
that it's 8:20?
It's 8:20 in the morning on the 8th month and the 20th day.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It is. Absolutely. Something magic is happening at this moment.
Okay, wait a minute. And if we wait 5 more seconds, it'll be 8:20:25 on 8:20:25.
Huh. Okay.
There you go. Hey,
all right, there we go. Just happened.
Linda and I are together.
It's magic.
For the first time. A week or so. So, good morning. Welcome back to the show. Our guest today from the Shasta County Sheriff's Office is Lieutenant Cody Bodner, who started his career in the jail. And I have questions about that because most people, the vast majority, didn't have the opportunity like I did to tour the jail. And I ended up spending like 2 hours more in there than I thought I was going to, until the lawyer showed up and got, but it was so interesting, to see how it worked. And we were talking about manipulation but you were there 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. How has the jail population changed, especially say in the last 5-6 years?
Yeah, you know,
or has it?
Yeah, it has. So it's not the 5-6 years. I can't say because I haven't worked the jail in that time. But I was working at the time. AB 109,
yes.
Prop 47.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Prop 47 happened after I left and was on patrol. But you know, AB 109, I was there, and I think that was in 11 or 12 when that happened. And anyways, I noticed that there was a huge shift in the type of sophistication of the inmates that were in there. And what I noticed was a lot of our, I think this is a good benchmark of what to look at, our inmate workers. So we have trustees, or mm-hmm. we call them inmate workers. You're not trustees now, but inmate workers. And a lot of those guys entailed our DUI or like maybe numerous petty thefts or long time people that had drunken publics or, you know, repeat
sure.
drunk, so that we had to hold on to for a certain amount of time. And those guys were our main workers. They're the ones that handled all of our cleaning inside the jail, all of our, kitchen work, any kind of laundry, that kind of stuff. And those guys, mainly there were those very nonviolent crimes that just had some time to do in there. And as the time's gone on, because of AB 109, which basically made it to where it was the county's responsibility to house inmates for prison stints, mm-hmm. Those trustee or those longtime inmate workers end up now being our assault with a deadly weapon. There are heavy drug salespersons. There's even some, you know, that are looking at homicide that are the ones working, you know, cleaning to making food. So what that shows to me is that we have all the space in the jail because it's only limited, right?
Sure.
That we can't house those people that are long-term theft, long-term drunk, long-term DUI or those type, because they'll have to go out to our work release or our, you know, daily check-in. Now it's those spots that were for them are now for our long-time hardcore guys that are spending, you know, 5, 6, 7 years in the jail or should be in prison for that long.
Yeah.
They're now here locally, and what do we do with them? Well, we have spots in the jail to make them work. So that is the amount, or that's the shift that I've seen, is that
would you say
higher level.
Would you say, Cody, that they're maybe tougher to domesticate, is not the right word, tougher to work with because of their – a lot of them are hardcore. Some of them previous gang members, others, they've got jail time and all this. Are they harder to work with?
I would say overall, yes. And I won't say you have to be more cognizant of the manipulation that may take place, right? So, they do have their own set of rules. A lot of it has to go with, you know, kind of their own little law and order that they have within their pods. And they make sure that they adhere to their own set of rules, which can somewhat coincide with what happens in the day room or what happens in the pods.
Mm-hmm.
But, there's a lot of that undertones of manipulation that they do versus like guys that, you know, just come in. They're not programmed yet is what they call it.
Yeah.
You know, they do crazy stuff. They create messes. They scream, that kind of stuff.
DUI that puts them in jail for 60 days.
Yeah. So like those guys can be what I would say probably a little bit less, respectful of both the staff and their other inmates. And they won't manipulate as much. However, the guys that have been in prison, they're playing prison politics. They're trying to manipulate. They're trying to manipulate guards. They're trying to do that towards each other. So that's a difference. So yeah, overall they're harder to work for, but it's an undertone of, hey, they're trying to do something. They're trying to manipulate. They're trying to get something outside of the rules. So,
all right. Yeah. Well, what do you do when, you know, we've been talking about the jail now for, you know, since you've been on, but what's your mission now? In the sheriff's office.
So as of about a month ago, I was given my, final, responsibility from my final command. I'm the commander of the city of Shasta Lake Station.
Okay.
So, yeah, so I go back, you know, like I said, that's
where
you're from.
That's where I was from.
Wow.
So I'm back home.
Full circle, man.
And do you go over and you find the guy who said, you know, you remember when I was in third grade with you and you pushed my face down into the mud? I just want to tell you, I don't hold anything against you. However, here's a ticket.
No, you know, it's the thing about me is I didn't get that too much. You know, all the guys always, you know, I don't know. I guess maybe I had some older stepbrothers that were, you know, the biggest, baddest guys around. They didn't really mess with me. So, but no, I always got along really well with everybody. And, you know, it's very typical. You know, they call me, it's funny. A lot of the guys call me the unofficial mayor of Shasta Lake. So, just because everybody's like, hey, you know, Cody, you know, Cody. So that's kind of the funny thing about it.
So, so you're in charge of the sheriff's contingent in the city of Shasta Lake. And how many officers there? And
We have 10 officers. We have 8 deputies. One of them is a canine, and then I have 2 sergeants. And then I have a community service officer, which is non-sworn. She handles the front desk work and any kind of the goings-ons. You know, she basically makes our deputy jobs a lot easier. So that's what she does.
She does the admin work like that and makes sure everybody, you know,
dressed
correctly.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
So how do you like that? Is this kind of like, This is kind of like, wow, I'm back here.
Yeah, you know, I after the jail, I did some time to South County and the rest of the county, and then I went up to City of Shasta Lake, and I did 5 years there, you know. Yeah, I did 5 years as a deputy on the patrol up there as well. So it in all ways, it's coming back home. You know, I know a lot of the people that are on the city council up there.
Sure.
Jess Lugo, the city manager, she wasn't the city manager at the time when I was a deputy, but I saw her quite a bit. We have a great working relationship. A lot of the people, Alan, who was Century Farmers Market, I've known him since I was a kid. I don't think he was the one that said I couldn't work there, but, but, you know, it's just, there's so many things that and so many people that I've known growing up and being able to be that entity of like the law enforcement and being that contact. It's really just coming home, and it's to me, I'm here for it. It's awesome.
Okay, we're here with Lieutenant Cody Vodner, and he's in charge of the sheriff's contingent up in the city of Shasta Lake. How big an area do y'all cover up there?
In the city of Shasta Lake, it's about 10 square miles. So it overall geography, it's pretty small.
Okay.
And it's kind of like, in a sense, kind of a big square. So it makes it pretty easy for us to kind of, you know, if there's a response time, you know, if there's any kind of call for service.
I mean, you're talking about less than 5 minutes. You're like the police department. for City of Shasta Lake. And do you go out further? I mean, if your deputies are out there, if there's a call for, call for help or something like that, then they can they go, or is this their only place that they're going to stay at?
No, the city's been amazing. There, in the past, that was very landlocked. We call it, we'd say like the wheels would lock up when we left the city limits.
Yeah.
But the city, Jess Lugo and the city council, they understand, you know, that we have a responsibility for public safety outside of just the city of Shasta Lake. So, they're very supportive of, if we need to go outside of the city of Shasta Lake to handle a call, respond to a call, or support our brothers that are outside there, then we'll absolutely do that. And there's no issue with that.
And we're going to have to take a break, but the city of Shasta Lake pays for this, for your presence there.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. So you are the police department.
Yes. We function as a police department.
As a police department there.
But, we are, it's basically under a contract.
Okay. So. All right. Lieutenant Cody Vodner heads up the division there in the city of Shasta Lake. And this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, where I hung out yesterday for a while and got my hair cut by Logan. Cypress Square Barbershop is the only barbershop I've gone to since I moved here in 2007 and never saw any reason to go anywhere else. Never had a bad haircut. I can make an appointment with them by calling 530-244-9478. Make my appointment like I did for yesterday and roll in, get a haircut, you know, chit chat with the guys and, look at the latest, Saturday Evening Post. And take off. They were founded in 1960, been in the same location since 67, right off Athens Avenue, across the parking lot from the old Lucky Millers. Cypress Square Barbershop. Not a hair salon, my friends. It's a barbershop. It's man's last stronghold. Cypress Square Barbershop. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
When the North State weather takes its toll on your roof, trust the experts who know the best. Hunter Roofing has been protecting homes and businesses throughout the North Valley for over 70 years. Our certified team delivers quality workmanship using premium materials built to withstand our hot summers and wet winters. Free estimates, competitive pricing, and a commitment to excellence that's made us Redding's most trusted roofing company. Continuing our legacy of craftsmanship and reliability, Hunter Roofing. Call us at 530-999-5622. 530-999-5622.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
care.
Most everyone knows that Orchard Nutrition Center has a big selection of vitamins and supplements, a fresh bakery and deli, organic groceries, and certified organic produce from Shasta County and surrounding areas. What I know is, my mom loves shopping at Orchard Nutrition Center. Her motto, you are what you eat. If you eat healthy, you'll be healthy. She says that all the time. Personally, I believe her. As a kid, I like things that are sweet. So when she comes home with farm-fresh local fruit, trust me, it's sweet. Mom loves all the local veggies. And Dad, he likes meat. Orchard carries locally grown, 100% grass-fed beef. So guess what? Dad's even eating healthy, and he doesn't even know it. If you haven't been to Orchard Nutrition, you owe it to yourself and the ones you love. Just remember what my mom says. You are what you eat. If you eat healthy, you'll be healthy. It all starts at Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., 7 days a week.
You said I ain't the cops, I ain't your parents, boys, you're dealing with the county sheriff.
And good morning and welcome back to this
Listen
Wednesday.
Listen to this. Listen to this song.
All right.
This,
okay, wait.
Play it up. Play it up. It's about the county sheriff.
I got it. Go ahead. Yeah, Wednesday morning. Welcome. Who is this artist?
Luke Combs.
Okay. All right, Luke. Welcome back. And it is our Wednesday edition here of KCNR with Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. We are live today on the 20th. It is the August 20th, and we are here with our Shasta Lake City, Lieutenant Cody Wagner, and we appreciate you being back. At the break, we were talking about something really interesting, and that is about the ride-along program. And the ride-along program is something that that you, if somebody's thinking about law enforcement and do they, you know, to do a ride-along, you really get a sense of actually how tedious it can be, but what you guys go through.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the ride-along program, you have to go and submit through our records division and go through there. They do a small background check, but what that does is it opens up for you to have the opportunity to sit, you know, passenger seat with one of our deputies and handle, you know, during their shift work and see what kind of calls that they are responding to, see what patrolmen's life looks like on a daily basis, and kind of get the whole gist of what law enforcement is in Shasta County. So, you know, for somebody that is interested or just kind of has an inkling of maybe they want to be in law enforcement, and it doesn't necessarily need to be maybe a deputy sheriff. It could be some type of support staff, but you know, when you ride along with them, you gain that respect for it and be like, you know, I want to help this mission somewhere. A ride along is a great place to start to where you get to see what the work is.
Yeah. I did one. I was sharing with you that I did one in high school, and I think I was in student government, and maybe this was part of, you know, something that you would do. I don't know, but I know that I wasn't quite 18. You do have juvenile ride-alongs. Of course, you have to have a, you know, form you fill out and get permission, et cetera. But you have adults. So they have the PDF place to fill it out on cityofshastalake.gov. Mm-hmm. And so you were talking about, while we're speaking about that, that you had positions that are open too when people are thinking about maybe being with a team, because it truly is a team. Mm-hmm. Your force.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're, you know, have a badge and you're carrying a gun. You can work in other capacities. So yeah. What you've got some jobs open right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We have a public safety service officer. So those positions primarily work in the jail. They're non-sworn positions. They're the ones that are working in the mods, which are kind of like our version of like a tower, overseeing both the inmates and the correctional deputies when they're inside the living quarters and dealing with the inmates. So they're kind
That's
of overwatch.
On camera, right?
Yeah, they're basically camera and they're opening doors.
They never come in contact with the prisoners. Is that correct?
That's correct. Okay. Yeah. They have a correctional deputy right there with them.
Okay. So if you think you're, you know, well, gosh, I'm going to be in. No, you are operating out of a separate room. You're opening doors, closing doors, yep. And you're watching over. You're watching. You're kind of like the high. You're watching the back of the of the correctional officers.
And they also do our booking within the jail. So they're the ones that actually book people in to for their crimes, set the court date, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. That's them that do that.
And, well. And if you don't think that's, excuse me, if you don't think that's a tough job, because they've got to make, are they the ones that make the decision on who goes to jail and who doesn't?
No, those are correctional deputies. Oh, okay. That's a classification officer. But they're also the ones that are dealing and trying to book these guys in when they're upset and yelling at them through the cage and whatnot. So, I'm knowing a lot of public safety service officers. In fact, my wife, she worked here for a while, and that's kind of what she did. And, you know, it was entertaining, you know, I won't say entertaining, but it was definitely an exciting job. Mm-hmm. And to see, you know, have that front in contact with the persons that are coming into the jail, but not have to actually do the physical contact, but you know, that
you still
that conversation
verbal,
is going on right there. Yeah. And then getting where so a lot of their mindset is.
They're getting what information to, you know, that goes into their paperwork, right?
Yes.
And
yep.
And let, you know, they may already have this because they've been in there several times before, but they still have to interact with
yep.
them. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So another position that we have is our chief fiscal officer. So that's actually like one of the head accountants for the whole sheriff's office. So, I mean, that's one of our higher, I guess, paying positions within the sheriff's office. But that also comes with a lot of experience with finance, with the accounting realm and how to deal with that. So that's one position. Deputy sheriff entry level, so that's just for the Bernie area. So that's anybody that has prior academy experience. We're specifically trying to hire for the Bernie station. So anybody that is interested in working in the Bernie station, that's where we're trying to get them to go.
How many deputies are up there?
We have the lieutenant that lives up there. Both sergeants work up there. And then I think two or three of the deputies, but overall, I believe they have 10, very similar to CSO.
Now, are they in the same deal as a contract?
No.
Okay,
no.
So they're stationed there.
Correct.
And have, how big an area do they cover?
Oh.
I mean, do they go up to?
They go to county line, basically. So okay.
They go up to MODOC County. Then.
Yeah, they go, they have Lassen and MODOC as well. And they also have Siskiyou to the north. So think of like 89, how it goes up north.
Yeah,
and it,
yeah.
I mean, basically to where it hits Siskiyou County line, that's theirs. To the east, they have Lassen. That's mm-hmm. theirs. Then they have MODOC. There's a little sliver that's MODOC as well.
Oh, is there? Okay.
Yeah, so like they have a huge area. And I don't know. I know it's hundreds of square miles, but
right.
I just don't know exactly how big.
Cody, one of the things that, you know, if an officer here from RPD gets in a problem, I mean, 5 minutes, 6, 10 minutes, if an officer needs assistance up there from Bernie and he's up there right at MODOC County, how long can that take?
Well, it can take a while for a deputy to respond. Typically in the sheriff's office, it's one of our trademarks though, is we try not to handle anything alone. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You hear about that in other counties where, you know, it's the lone sheriff by himself and he's, you know, taking down the situation by himself.
Longmire.
But yeah.
Come on.
It's not necessarily the reality at the Shasta County Sheriff's Office because
okay.
we try to focus hugely on officer safety. So if it's a situation where a deputy, it's kind of a volatile call for service, we'll make sure that we're at least two deputies going into that, and if not three, or even outside agencies. I know Bernie relies heavily on like Forest Service and also the California Highway Patrol to kind of
help
pad
out
their ranks.
Well,
out
and
well.
You all have a great relationship with all the
yeah.
you know all the different law enforcement agencies, but the Fish and Game, Forestry, mm-hmm. they're post certified.
Yeah.
Many, or I don't know if they all are, but many
yeah.
of them are.
Most of them are, at least they're, you know, obviously the game wardens are. A lot of the Forest Service, sometimes the Rangers are, sometimes they're not, but we work very closely with their LEOs as well. So, you know, that reality of a deputy sheriff of having, you know, that far between if something goes wrong isn't really the case here.
Okay.
It is definitely more than RPD, you know, because mm-hmm. you got, you know, a minute or two, you're going to have
yeah.
like five or six guys there. It's not really the case. You're going to at least have two.
Well, it's good to hear is that if you're going to a volatile situation, there'll be another officer
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if something goes south, up there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to take a while to get medical and everything else up there.
No, absolutely.
Okay. We're here with Lieutenant Cody Vodner. He's been with the Shasta County Sheriff's Office for
19 years.
19 wow. years. Yeah, 19 he's years a local October. Boy. He's a local boy out of the city of Shasta Lake, and now he's the head law enforcement guy in the city of Shasta Lake. So, I mean, it turns.
Yeah.
World turns. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Experience the thrill of our $100,000 summer adventure. Swipe to win draw. Weekly drawings are from June through August, Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m., where you have a chance to win exciting prizes, including free slot play and cash rewards. Have a chance to win a brand new 2025 Ford Ranger in the final draw. By participating, you could drive away in style. For complete details, visit WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moments at Wind River Resort and Casino.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staff with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Financial Advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Welcome back to Street Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Tomorrow, Nation's Finest joins us at 7:30 and Jake Mangus joins us at 8 o'clock. And we have a lot of things to talk about and the new job that Jake's got. I want to remind everybody about the Dove warm-up. That's going to be August the 24th out at the Reading Gun Club, put on by the Shasta County Cattlemen's Association and Reading Gun Club. All types of raffle prizes, shooting trap, shooting, you know, turkey shoots, all kinds of things, including cornhole games. And you can get a game package and early registration discounts just by going to the Shasta County Cattlemen's Association website or Northern Firearms Instruction website and looking up that date, and you can sign up right there. It goes from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., includes lunch, and it's going to be Sunday, August the 24th. And we are here with Lieutenant Cody Bodner, that we've been mispronouncing his name for the last hour. Sorry, Cody.
That's all right.
You know, I don't know, you know.
Well, we said, you started, it sounded like a B. Now, sometimes well, people say, but, I say B-O, B as in boy, oh, I have to say that. But today, I thought we started off with Bodner, and then we went to Vodner. Oh my God.
And
so
it should have been Bodner the whole time.
Well, yeah. I think, you know, like, I'm not going to rule out that I didn't pronounce it or correctly, so.
Well, you should have,
I'll take ownership
there. You
should have reached,
you
should
like,
reached across with a baton and smacked me, after the first time. Anyway, okay, we're here with Lieutenant Cody Bodner, who is the, head of the, Sheriff's Department contingent up in the city of Shasta Lake, 10 officers up there. Mm-hmm. A question came during the break about if you arrest an illegal, somebody, you know, an illegal migrant, do you call ICE?
No, we can't. Per Senate Bill 54, which came out a few years ago, it limits our ability to be able to contact ICE or any federal agency regarding individual's immigration status. So we do not proactively reach out to the federal authorities regarding that information. We do cooperate with ICE if they call us and or need our assistance in some way, but it has to be from their end to us. We do not reach out.
But if they can come in to you and say, hey, we see you have this guy, can you hold him for us?
Yes.
And you will do
yep.
that.
Yep. Okay. Cause they are a federal law enforcement agency. So, I mean, we have to, and we do, cooperate with them as needed as far as that goes, but we are not to proactively reach out to them, okay. per Senate Bill 54.
Yeah. You know, and this gets confusing. Yeah. Because, you know, some states they do, some they don't. Here in California, we're so weird anyway. And, pretty soon we may even be in a different, congressional district if there is no higher deity that says this is wrong. You all know what I'm talking about, the redistricting, but, yeah. I just threw up my mouth when I think about it. Okay, Lieutenant Bodner. What do you see in, I know this is, I'm putting you on the spot here. What do you see in law enforcement? And I mean, now I'm looking at that camera on you right now. How's that working out?
It's great. You know, a lot of people, especially when I started out 19 years ago, it was like, there's no way. Cause I think body cameras are just kind of a rumor that back then, right?
Yeah.
I think it was more dash cam at that point. But, you know, body cams have come, you know, they're really come to emergence in law enforcement. And initially, and we're talking about 15 years ago or so, there was a lot of resistance to it.
A lot of pushback.
Yeah. And as it's come along, and the sheriff Sheriff Johnson, the whole time has been supportive of wanting body cams, but as anything, especially in today's society, anything that's technologically related or is technology is expensive. And that was the biggest hurdle for us to get over was, okay, well, we will wear body cams. It helps with report writing. It
yes.
helps with complaints. It helps with just giving a lot of people our side of what
yeah,
is,
my
what
word
we
against
have
theirs. Well, here's yeah. the real. Yeah. You can see it
so,
yourself.
So that has always been the sheriff's stance of, yeah, we will take body cams, but we can't afford it. You know, it is so expensive as it is. So, you know, luckily the Board of Supervisors decided to, you know, make that a general fund item, which is great. Already has, been, integral in, disclaiming or basically, refuting several complaints that people put on. All we have to do is watch a body cam. No, that didn't happen. It's been great. And the deputies like it because it assists them with, you know, we're just human along, you know, and there's things, perception is reality. Well, sometimes your perception is just a little off and maybe you picked up something that wasn't, you know, a movement that was there that subconsciously you picked up on, but you didn't, at the time you saw it, you didn't pick that up, but you know, there's a subconscious there that you rewatch the video and you're like, oh, that's why I did that. So, it's been great. It's been a really good.
I understand with the body cameras, one of the first things, a big problem was the storage and all that. But now with these contracts, they've got the cloud.
Yep.
And now, because sometimes you're going to have to keep the footage maybe for a couple of years because if it's going to trial.
Yeah.
For your older deputies like you, you have to train in it. The new deputies, I understand, coming out, new police coming out of the post academies, they are trained in the body cameras during the course.
Yeah, some of them are. You know, the good thing, we went through Axon, and yes, they do have the cloud system, and yeah, we do retain it for at a plane. There's a certain amount of time that we retain it. They make them very simple. It's like, you know, the big circle button right there. You tap it twice, and it's good to go. You know, it's not, it's very,
are you recording us right now?
No. It's very deputy proof is what I like to call it. Deputy and being a deputy myself, you know, it's deputy proof. You tap it twice and it's going, right?
So, but you have to remember to do that.
Yes. And that is, you know, one of the things I think, you know, there was a incident that RPD dealt with in the last year or so where they were like, he wasn't recording. Well, that deputy or that cop was a cop for pushing 30 years. This thing is brand new to him. So, you know, that's going to be really hard muscle memory. And again, like I alluded in the past, we're human. We're all human after all, right? And we deal with our own habits. We deal with our own muscle memory. And, you know, putting a new piece of gear in such a volatile situation like that, trained for, you know, 3 decades that you need to worry about your gun. You need to make your verbal announcements. You need to address the threat. You're not worried about pressing the button on a camera, which, you know, a lot of people think, oh, you know, or there's a certain contingent that think, oh, you know, he's covering things up. No, he's trying to survive and he's trying to handle a situation that is, you know, a deadly situation.
Sure.
He's not worried about turning a camera on. And that's unfortunate. You know what I mean? I get, you know, it would be ideal if something just automatically turned on when, you know, you think it's a scenario, but that's not, it always takes user input to be able to do that. So.
Yeah. Anything that's human input. You may have a, you know, and again, that was the big thing I had heard, when these things first started, because I was on the California Highway Patrol Citizens Board, and they were talking about, you know, the training on it, that it was going to do everything you said, especially when people come complaining that, he abused me and, you know, it was verbally abusive and they come out and they say it, and then the police release or the sheriffs release the body cam footage, and you see what a jerk the other person had been. And the officer, with all that going on, was being pretty cool. Yeah. Now it can work the other way, too.
Yeah, it can.
And it's good for training, I imagine.
Absolutely, because there's nothing better than actually being in the spot. So, yeah, so, you know, body cams are huge right now. They've been good. It's our huge positive reception with our department. We're also looking at, it's not, you know, anything. We're really interested in the Flock safety camera system, the license plate readers.
Okay, yeah. This has caused some consternation with people.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're saying you are taking my license plate without my permission.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's no different than us being on the road and, you know, or any camera that may be out on the street right now of a public citizen that's out there. It is in a public area. So, I mean, it's different if the person's vehicle's at their residence, you're getting that where their location is, but these are placed in public areas where the public has access to that anyways. So, you know, and it is a spot in geographically that just shows that this vehicle went by this location. Doesn't say who was driving it. Doesn't say where they're going. It doesn't say where they're coming from. It just says vehicle's here. That's all it has to say.
Does it take a photo of the,
It does. It takes a photograph of the vehicle.
So, and you wouldn't be using that unless you were looking for a specific.
Correct. Yeah. Every single query into the LPR system needs to be, have a case number and a reason and person who is accessing the information. So it's very similar to our DOJ database or our CLETS database to where we can't just willy-nilly go and do a query and figure out, hey, you know, who's this person?
Like you can't fly a drone over everybody's backyard.
Yeah. So
it's against the law.
You can't do that. So, I mean, we have policies and we have procedures and, you know, there's things that you can't do that for. It's very similar to
I got
that.
Your back. Don't worry.
Yeah.
And they're coming through. Don't worry. I'm watching.
but yeah, so, you know, the system's huge. You know, LPRs have been huge in a couple of cases. One, I don't know if you remember back last May, there was a triple homicide suspect that killed a lady up in Lakehead and then went out to Millville and killed two people out there. LPRs were huge in the ascertainment of where that guy was staying at, where he was, and us to be able to identify where he was. So, and that's just in the city of Reading's, because the city of Reading fields, I think, a couple dozen of Motorola LPRs. But we're looking at trying to go out to more of the county. And granted, this is very early in the planning stage. It's something we're looking into.
Well, one of the law enforcement told me there are so many cameras in this city, and I'm not talking government cameras. We've got one. We've got two cover our street.
Yep.
That, you know, if they're looking for information, that an officer can come up and say, hey, was your camera running there?
Yep.
And it's up to you whether you want to, you know, give them access to it.
Absolutely.
But there are so many cameras around here that it's unbelievable.
Yeah. You know, and that's in the city of Reading, that's one of the big benefits to that, is that there's cameras everywhere. The problem is that in, you know, the rural areas, we have arsonists. We have arsonists. We have, you know, a lot of those rural crimes. We have marijuana thefts. We have major crimes that occur out in the county. So it would be good for us to have that type of resource out there as well.
Okay. Cody Bodner. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Yeah, thank you.
Is this your third time?
This is my third time.
Your time. Well, I'm sure you'll
thank
be back
you
again.
I'm sure I will.
You do a great job.
Lieutenant
here.
Bodner.
Thank you very, very much.
All right, thank you.
And tomorrow, Jake Mangus and the nation's finest will be joining us. It's going to be warm out there today, people. Hydrate, and God bless America.
And my ground won't be turned around. And I'll keep this world from dragging me down.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.